Now here's Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio.
She was a rich woman. She had rich taste. She felt the blood.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, sitting at my kitchen table. Ryan the hockey guy, Chris Chapman in the studios, the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Las Vegas studio. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the...
Woo!
All right, guys, well, wrapping up another week here, Friday. How you guys doing?
This is week three, right? Technically?
Yeah,
I think week two three and a half? Of this,
because it's it'll be 3 weeks on Tuesday that Lotus Broadcasting started everyone working from home except essential employees like us.
Yeah, and then this is the second week that I've been sitting here at home. So,
Frank, are you at your abode?
I am at my abode. Yes,
abode or Adobe?
Abode.
Isn't Adobe another word for house as well?
Could be. I don't know.
I'm thinking of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. When he goes to the Alamo and they laugh at him, and she's like, "This is an Adobe."
I've been meaning to ask you why you say the word abode for like 2 weeks now.
I don't know.
That's just what you like. Like, I guess if so, say social distancing is a thing of the past, right? And like, you meet somebody and you're like, "Hey, do you want to come back to my abode for some drinks?" Like,
I'd probably just say, want to come back to my place.
I think if you used abode.
I mean, the definition of abode is a place of residence.
Yes.
Or a house or a home. So.
Right.
Now, is that a Midwest term? Because we've never used that in the Northeast.
Like, I know what abode means. I've just never used it in a sentence.
I don't know. It's just something that popped in my mind the first time when I was sitting here and, you know.
Is it A-B-O-D-E?
D-E, yes.
Oh, okay.
Abode.
Yes, it's abode. So, to be honest, I don't know why I said it. It just popped in my mind the first time that I was sitting here.
No judgment. I've been meaning to ask you that for 2 weeks because it's not something that you hear often.
Right. I understand that. And it's not something I ever said often until I started having to sit here and do this out of my house.
So social distancing has improved your vocabulary. That's what we're going to run with. Like, you're using words you never thought to use before because you're in your house and you're coming up with unique ways to say you're in your house.
Adding new words to the lexicon.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, well, yeah. I don't know if improved, but maybe it's extended it, or you know, made me
expounded
a little more creative or something
upon
so.
But is expounded better?
Yeah, that's fine.
It expounded upon your.
Yeah, sure.
How are you doing today, Frank?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
You know, I've been getting out walking. I don't know if I'll keep it up. I have that step counter on my phone, so I use that to try to, you know, and I'm actually averaging about 7 miles a day so far this week. I don't know if I can continue with the final 2 days, but might be my best week ever as far as getting in some steps. I keep on walking around this, but I think I'm walking around my complex more than the security guards do.
So what's your day look like? Like, just take us through. Frank wakes up. Everything that happens, Frank goes to sleep.
Well, it's going to be kind of boring, but
come on,
Frank gets up. I usually turn on the TV.
What time does Frank get up?
It varies. I mean, it might be 9 a.m. It might be 10 a.m.
Okay, let's just
I sleep
just take,
it a little bit.
Let's just take today, or let's take yesterday as a full day in the life of Frank Harnish. What time did Frank get up yesterday?
I probably got up about 9 o'clock.
What'd you do?
Got up. Took a shower, as I do every day when I first get up. Then took a little walk around the complex. Then came in here, set up, because we had to record Nate Schmidt. So did that, getting ready for the show. Did a little show prep in that. Had a Coke, because that's generally my breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Then did the show with you guys. Then after that, walked around the complex once. I always check my mail. Came back here. Turned on TV, realized there was nothing on I wanted to watch. Read another chapter in the Randy Couture book, Becoming the Natural.
Mm-hmm.
Took another walk around the complex.
Mm-hmm.
Turned on TV at night. Again, didn't find much that I wanted, so I read another chapter in my book. Then walked around the complex. Somewhere in there I had a bite to eat or something like that. And then kind of went to bed.
What did you eat?
Oh, I mean, I've been to the store a couple times. I had some hamburger in the fridge. I made myself a little bit of hamburger.
So when you go to the grocery store, are you still being hounded by the employees for having too many loaves of bread?
No, I'm not. And Did you ever eat that loaf of bread? No, I gave it to somebody here at the complex. I gave it to somebody.
So you did some charitable stuff. We know you have a big heart. You donate a lot of blood. Yeah, you donate plasma. 100%. Now you're donating bread, so that we like that.
Yeah, I mean, I basically saw one of my neighbors in that, and I asked him if he'd been to the store recently, and he said, yeah, he keeps on going, but he hasn't had any bread. And I'm like, well, I got an extra loaf if you want one. He's like, really? So I went up, and I got the loaf of bread, and I gave it to him.
So you had hamburger. You had a Coke. You tried to find stuff on TV, didn't find anything, and you read two chapters, and I think, according to my count, you made six laps around your complex?
Yeah, probably five or six or so, yeah. I got it about like 6.4 miles yesterday walking.
That's awesome.
So a little bit under the average of what I've been doing. But although I have a super long way to go if I ever want to be in shape again, I have dropped about 10 pounds during this fiasco.
I'm just telling you, man, when we see you again, I may not recognize you. You're not going to recognize Chapman. He's svelte today.
Okay.
Really, really svelte. And it's not just the tie-dye Jimi Hendrix shirt that he's got on. Dude is losing some poundage, so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like you, Frank. I'm putting in a lot of miles every day. I get up in the morning, walk. Usually I'll walk when I get home from the station, and then after dinner, before bed, I'll take a nice long walk. And, you know, I was reading on the best ways to lose weight and you know, improve your heart health, and they say three walks a day, usually 10 minutes or more, is a good way to do it. But, I mean, I'm crushing that. I got up this morning and did 4.5 miles, and I'm looking forward to doing some more. But I'm pretty lucky because where I live, it's not so built up yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of open areas for me to kind of take different paths and stuff. But I never realized there's some really big houses not too far from where I'm living. And I'm like, man, I don't live in one of these big houses, but there's some serious cash in my zip code, and I never realized it until I started walking.
I think you and I are in close to one another's zip codes, so I have an idea of what you're talking about.
Yeah, because I know I bumped into you at Target one time.
Yes, yes. I spent about an hour this morning with a 70-pound kettlebell.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fun. That was good.
That doesn't sound fun.
Is that on Ryan the Hockey Guy Twitter's account?
Well, yeah. I tweeted out about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they can check out how you're working. So when all this is said and done, not only do we hope to see the Vegas Golden Knights playing hockey soon, we hope to see Ryan the Hockey Guy back on the ice. Is that the game plan?
Yeah, I don't commit to anything that's, you know, more than 3 days in advance, Frank.
Maybe we'll get you in that police charity game that they were trying to get you to play in last year.
You know, that's the guy that's really trying to get me going. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. Not making any guarantees. But Frank, you had a topic, and we're going to push the NHL's greatest moments of 2019-20 ... so far. I think to the third segment, because let's be honest, the two options today are not very good.
I would agree with that.
They're not good at all. So, Frank, you had the players poll, and you wanted to get into this on a kind of an extended day where there wasn't too much going on. So let's go ahead and get into it.
All right, yeah. So the players recently did a poll. Before we do that, I do want to throw in, too, that we had a poll up on our site yesterday as well on Fox Sports Las Vegas. And we asked a couple questions up there. And I'm assuming that you're not too happy with the results from our listeners.
If I'm being completely honest with you, I didn't actually see the poll.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that as well, because
I mean, we can do it right now if you want. That's fine.
Okay, well, let's get that up, because you guys were giving me some grief yesterday about Patrick Kane being the best player in the NHL right now, the best American-born player.
Mm-hmm.
So we posed that question, and then a different question of which player would you start a team with? And we gave three choices: Patrick Kane, Austin Matthews, and Jack Eichel. And I said Kane would be my choice for the best player right now because of experience, three cups, and everything else. Eichel would be the player that I would start a team with if I were starting one today.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who the listeners picked?
Take your victory lap.
Yes.
Oh,
they agreed with me on both cases.
I'm going to call sample size into question on this.
I can't help how many people voted.
I'm just saying I'm gonna call sample size into question on this.
Use whatever excuse you want to. The listeners agreed with me on this one.
That's fine. You know what, Frank? You've got 3 minutes. Take a victory lap. Tell me why I'm wrong.
No,
give me the exact reasons as to why Patrick Kane right now is a better player than Austin Matthews and Jack Eichel.
He's a better player right now because if you're missing one piece for a team that you want to win the Stanley Cup, experience means a lot. Experience definitely means a lot. That's one of the reasons that the Vegas Golden Knights picked up a guy like Alec Martinez because of his experience. He wasn't having a great year. He wasn't doing a lot of stuff, but he's somebody who can really help in that experience right now. Patrick Kane has won 3 Stanley Cups. Probably should have won 4, but the LA Kings beat him in a Game 7 at one point there.
He's been the main person
as far as the offense goes to the success of the Chicago Blackhawks. He's got experience. He's a dynamic player. He's a guy that is there in big times.
How does that make him better on the ice right now?
Because I'm
what
saying...
What does he do on the ice right now better than Jack Eichel and Austin Matthews? Does he play better defense? Does he have a better all-around game?
He knows how to win.
What does that mean?
He's got experience, and he's got 3 Stanley Cups.
Does he know how to win without Jonathan Toews?
He hasn't had to find
that
out.
Has he won anything internationally?
Has Austin Matthews or Jack Eichel won anything, period?
Has he won anything internationally?
Have they even been to the playoffs?
Has Patrick Kane won anything without Jonathan Toews?
Oh, he might have won like a medal in one of the world championships or something like that with Team USA.
Was it gold?
You said, has he won anything?
Was it gold?
I don't believe so.
Are you really winning if you finish second or third?
Silver and bronze aren't winning anything. Gold is winning something.
Like, no, but three Stanley Cups is winning something.
But I pose the question. Has he won? Could he win without Jonathan Toews?
See, here's the interesting thing about arguing with you sometimes. You say, take a little time here and tell me why I'm wrong, and then as I'm describing it, then you jump in and try to make an argument about all these intangible things.
What does he do right now that's better than those two guys on the ice? Right now. Tell me, what does he do that is better than those two guys on the ice right now?
I don't know that he does anything necessarily better right now, but when it comes to experience and knowing how to win and doing everything else, he's proven in the past that he's been there.
But my argument to that is, what has he shown you that proves he knows how to win if he hasn't won anything without the Chicago Blackhawks? If he hasn't won anything without Duncan Keith, without Brent Seabrook, without Jonathan Toews, and when he's been the guy on Team USA and hasn't won anything, how can you say that he knows how to win?
Well, by that argument, then Wayne Gretzky didn't know how to win. Wayne Gretzky never won after he left the Edmonton Oilers.
Wayne Gretzky won for Canada.
So I guess Wayne Gretzky wasn't really good. Yeah, because he had all the Canadian team with him when they were the dominant team in the world.
Why do you think I vote for Mario Lemieux, Frank? Why do you think I think Mario's better than Gretzky?
Right, but it's just interesting how you try to pick bits and pieces of arguments to make them go to your part.
I'm not taking
Look,
bits and pieces.
I understand you don't like Patrick Kane.
It's not about liking
him or not.
And you don't
think he's a quality human being.
It's not about that. I'm asking you what he does on the ice that is better than Austin Matthews or Jack Eichel.
Is he a better goal scorer?
Is he a better setup guy?
Does he control play?
Is he better at faceoffs? He doesn't play faceoffs. He doesn't take faceoffs. Does he play defense ever?
And then you tell me that
it's experience and it's his ability to know how to win. And then I say, well, okay, what has he won without Jonathan Toews and the Blackhawks?
Nothing. No, but that's not a fair comparison because he hasn't been on the ice without Jonathan Toews and the Blackhawks.
Yes,
he's played his entire career.
He's been on the ice with Team USA and he's failed to win.
When he hasn't had enough talent around him like the other teams that he's facing.
You mean like Jack Eichel? You can't make the argument for Austin Matthews. He's got too much talent around him. But you mean like Jack Eichel, who doesn't have the talent around him, but single-handedly makes everyone around him better?
And what has Jack Eichel won?
Nothing yet.
You want to keep on saying Patrick Kane's wins don't mean anything, but the other guys, even though they haven't won, it still means something. You're trying to play both ends of the
I'm
side.
Not. What I'm saying is there's what I'm saying, Frank, is that you're making excuses for why Patrick Kane has not won anything internationally because he doesn't have the talent around him. I'm saying the same thing could be said for Jack Eichel as to why he's not winning anything, but that doesn't matter because right now on the ice, Jack Eichel plays better defense than Patrick Kane. Jack Eichel elevates his teammates, not just his line mates, but everyone else he's playing with. He elevates them to a higher standard than does Patrick Kane, and there are things that he does on the ice that are simply better than what Patrick Kane brings to the table right now. That's my argument. My argument is that he does things better on the ice right now. Who is the best American player in the NHL right now? Jack Eichel. Period. Period.
And that's fine, and that's your opinion. But if I had one player in a playoff run and I had a Game 7 going, I would want Patrick Kane on my team. The listeners agreed with me on this case here, so it is what it is. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's won championships. I don't care what he does off the ice. That wasn't part of the equation here or anything else out there. Jack Eichel is a tremendous young player, and that's why I said if I were starting a team, he's the player I'd pick. But experience does count
because
for
he's
something.
Better.
You do want people that are winners come playoff time, and Patrick Kane is a proven winner in the NHL.
With Jonathan Toews.
Yes, with Jonathan Toews, although they generally don't play together on the ice at the same time. So that's like saying Sidney Crosby's good, what, because he's got Evgeny Malkin?
It certainly helps.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt. But you can't penalize him because he's got that around him.
And Sidney Crosby's won without Evgeny Malkin, though.
Okay, well... And Sidney Crosby is a great player.
Sidney Crosby is the Jonathan Toews in this analogy. Evgeny Malkin is the Patrick Kane in this analogy. Malkin hasn't won anything without Crosby. Crosby has won without Malkin.
Oh, okay, because Jonathan Toews, because he was on Team Canada, the best team in the world.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
So he can get the beneficiary of being on the best team in the world, but Patrick Kane gets slighted because he's not on the best team in the world. Okay, that's Ryan the Hockey Guy's argument there. The listener said it's a Patrick Kane, so that's what it is.
This
players
is so
recently
fun.
Had a poll out there, and in the players' poll, well, you talked about Sidney Crosby, and Sidney Crosby, according to the players, won not one, not two, but 3 categories from the players' perspective. Sidney Crosby won the category for the most complete player, getting 45.4% of the vote. He was ahead of the Bruins' Patrice Bergeron in that.
Mm-hmm.
The player his peers would most like to see on social media, he got 26% of the vote there. And the player that they would choose to win one game with, Crosby got 44%, outpacing Edmonton Oilers star Connor McDavid, who had 30% of the vote for that one.
Where did Patrick Kane fall in that poll?
They don't have the whole list here. They just have the top 2 guys.
Can't go back that far, I see.
No. Well, but you know what? I believe that both of those guys are, neither one of them are American-born, so it wouldn't affect the argument that we just had.
Is Patrick Kane, in your opinion, better than Sidney Crosby?
No, and okay. I never said he was.
Good. Good, good. So here's the one that I found interesting about that, which the player they want to see on social media. I can tell you, being in a locker room with Sidney Crosby, the guys... like underrated funny. And there's a reason why I think Marc-Andre Fleury really did enjoy pranking Sidney Crosby, because I think Sidney Crosby has much more of a personality than he lets on. And it would be really nice one day to see that kind of fly in full form. But you know, I mean, he's clearly the best player in the game right now. I don't think that's debatable.
I would definitely agree with that. I think he's the most complete player out there. He does play the full 200-foot game. Connor McDavid might be the most gifted offensive player, but I still don't think that he's got the complete game that Crosby has.
Jack Eichel plays a complete game.
Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we kind of got gypped this year when the Penguins came out, because Crosby did not play this year in Vegas, so we didn't get to see him. I saw him up in the press box.
So did I. And it's funny because I almost – well – Sidney Crosby to me is like that guy you want to watch a game with. You know what I mean? Like you just want to sit up in the press box if he's not playing and just pick his brain. Like if I was a healthy scratch for the Penguins, and I was sitting up in a press box with Sidney Crosby, when I got back to playing, I should be way better than I was before. Because I'd pick his brain nonstop about what he sees and how to be better.
Yeah, he was actually very I overheard him having a conversation with one of their broadcasters, and he was just talking about how loud the arena is. Like, man, every time something happens, my water in front of me is shaking because it gets so loud in this arena. It was actually kind of a cool thing to hear from a guy like Sidney Crosby, how complimentary he was of the fans here in Vegas and just how loud T-Mobile Arena gets.
So do you think that Sidney Crosby then would make a great coach? Because a lot of times great players don't make great coaches, but he does know the game so well. Or do you think he'd maybe be better suited if he decided to go down this path of being a GM or something?
I think Sidney Crosby would be a good coach because of the way that he plays. He sees things before everyone else does, but he's kind of a grinder. He works hard. He goes into the corners. He's not afraid to make the grittier plays. And I think that a lot of guys will be able to relate to that. Whereas when you look at a guy like Wayne Gretzky and you say, why didn't it work for him as a coach? Well, he just saw everything before anyone else did. And then he expected everyone else to see the game the way that he did. And you can't replicate that.
Crosby's like a superstar with a blue-collar attitude and work ethic.
Well, he's the best grinder. He's the best grinder that's ever played the game.
But like I always remember the story about Tony Gwynn. Right, Tony Gwynn, maybe the best hitter in the history of baseball, but he wasn't a good coach because he couldn't teach guys to see the ball the way he saw the ball. So, I mean, as much knowledge as you have, if you just have that gift to be able to see things that nobody else does, it is a lot like Gretzky in that, you know, he was so far ahead of everyone else seeing things that, you know, sometimes that doesn't translate to the world of coaching.
All right, a couple other things that were in this poll here that I thought were interesting, and this one caught my eye a little bit. Victor Hedman of the Tampa Bay Lightning captured the best defenseman. He had 37.8% of the vote, defeating Washington's John Carlson, who's having a tremendous season this year, 21.4% for Carlson.
I think size has a lot to do with this. Victor Hedman is a big player. He's going to punish you down low in the corners, and he's also a great skater, and he can also put the puck in the back of the net. It's not to suggest that John Carlson is one-dimensional, but I think if you're asking players which defenseman do you think is the best, meaning which one is good on offense and which one do you hate playing against, it's no surprise to me that Victor Hedman's right at the top.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And a pretty good, almost twice as many votes for Hedman there as well. Also running away with it, because a lot of times people, when they look at stats, they look at wins. And there's so much more to a lot of things, including the goaltender position. Carey Price, once again, named the top goaltender for the third straight poll with a 41.7% of the vote, topping 2019's Vezina Trophy winner Andrei Vasilevskiy, who came in with only 17%. So Carey Price, once again, absolutely crushing that. The goaltender race, according to the players' poll.
Do you agree?
I don't know if I see Montreal enough to see. Carey Price to me looks like he's making maybe a little bit of a step back, but he certainly was the best. I'd like to get a bigger sample size of him these days a little bit, but Carey Price certainly, when he's on his game, he's as good as anybody out there.
And we got gypped again. Carey Price, the only time we've seen Carey Price play in Vegas was when he came in relief of Antti Niemi in the first year.
And I wasn't at that game.
Yeah. So it's brutal. He did not play last year, and he did not play this year, which I think was Halloween, if I'm not mistaken. But so Carey Price has not played. He has not started a game at T-Mobile Arena.
Carey Price, when he's on, is unbeatable. Like, nearly unbeatable.
Absolutely. Another thing that we like to talk about a lot is trash talking. And it's interesting in some of these polls because the best trash talker and the worst trash talker are frequently the same person. And that was what happened once again this year from the players' poll. For the second straight season, Brad Marchand was named the best trash talker and the worst trash talker. 25% is the best, 11% is the worst. Drew Doughty of the LA Kings ranked second in both categories. Should also be mentioned that Nick Cousins of the Vegas Golden Knights got 6% of the vote as a bad trash talker, one of the worst trash talkers in the players' poll.
What does that even mean?
I think it means you're not
funny.
I'm
not sure.
But how could you also be the best?
Well, because some people maybe some people think you are funny and other people don't think it's funny. I don't know, yeah. But I do find that interesting. It's like when they do those best of polls out, you know, in the Review Journal all the time out here, best and worst. And sometimes you'll see the same restaurants or the same person or something like that is the best and the worst sometimes. So I guess some people like some, you know, it's what was one of those old quotes years ago? I think it was Jim Rome or somebody who said, I want half of my listeners to love me and half of my listeners to hate me, because then at least I have twice the listeners that I would have if it was just one way or the other.
You know, I will say that Drew Doughty is the best soundbite. Is there a better soundbite in the league than Drew Doughty?
He's good.
I'm surprised that Matthew Tkachuk did not make that list.
Did Patrick Kane win anything, Frank?
Not in the players' poll, no. Absolutely not.
Hmm.
However, the Chicago Blackhawks did win. They won for the best hockey jersey, 28.3%, with the third-year Vegas Golden Knights and the Toronto Maple Leafs both tying with 6.8%. So 6.8% was the second-best jersey, according to the players' poll. The number one, and once again a complete runaway, the Blackhawks sweater.
Okay, couple things. I absolutely love the black and white-only jersey that the Blackhawks have, their third jersey this year. It's phenomenal. Second, next year, it will be the Golden Knights, because they're going to have a gold jersey, and it's going to be awesome. And that's going to be better than Chicago.
Bold statement.
Oh. We'll see what happens. Want to run the hockey guys? Bold predictions.
I'm disappointed that the Canadiens jersey did not make the list, because to me, to this day, that's still the best jersey in hockey. It's so classic.
Yeah.
You know, I
love the Canadiens jerseys. It's a shame that the Toronto Maple Leafs had to rip off the Tampa Bay Lightning and their jersey. It's such a classic jersey. And I can't believe Toronto would rip that off. Obvious sarcasm.
A couple other things here to throw them on, because I know we have Gary Lawless coming in here at the bottom of the hour. Florida Panthers defenseman Keith Yandel was named the funniest player for the second straight season. Blue Star David Perron and Ryan O'Reilly won for the best bromance.
Ooh.
Who are
the runners-up, Frank, for bromance?
They don't give those results. Oh. And this particular article that I have here in front of me, it only gives the winners for them. Devils defenseman P.K. Subban was named the best social media follow.
Mm-hmm.
Canadiens forward Tomas Tatar earned the best nickname for the second straight season.
For Tuna. That's my guy.
For Tuna.
Yep, Tuna.
Dallas Stars forward Joel Pavelski was named the top golfer.
Hmm.
And in a poll from the players, the NHL Players Association members would pay to watch, past or present. Connor McDavid, the only player currently playing, got 8% of the vote. However, there were several ahead of him. He was the only one to make the top five. Wayne Gretzky, 32.8%, named the player that players today would pay to watch.
They didn't give you second or third?
Nope. Just gave that on this particular
Who's number one on your list, Frank?
For players to watch?
No, that you would, past or present, that you would pay to see.
Oh, that I would pay to see? Well, I mean, I've seen a lot of the players that I would pay to see. Maybe Gordie Howe, because I really didn't see him play. Gordie Howe in his prime, just to see how physical and how imposing he was. Or even a guy that I don't think gets the credit for the career that he has from the Blackhawks, because I didn't see him because I wasn't going to hockey games at that stage of my life. Bobby Hull. Bobby Hull was absolutely phenomenal and had 610 goals in his career. And when he went up to Winnipeg, remember, that wasn't in the NHL. He had over 300 goals in the WHA that are not NHL goals. It would be interesting to see where he would be on that all-time goal-scoring list if he would have remained in those years when he was getting – and I know 50 goals in the WHA isn't the same as it is in the NHL, but he was coming off a 50-goal career. I wonder if Bobby Hull would have never left the NHL exactly where he would rank on that list, because he has well over 900 career goals.
And I think today is actually the anniversary of Brett tying Bobby Hull for 610 goals.
It actually is, my friend. That is correct.
I would go Lemieux or Bossy.
Yeah, Mike Bossy's probably on my list too.
I saw Mike Bossy. The two players that... Well, I mean, the players that I did get to see, because I'm a little bit older than you guys, that I saw live, Bossy absolutely just took my breath away when I watched him, because his shot was so incredible. Wayne Gretzky's intelligence on the ice did absolutely blow me away seeing him live. And Guy Lafleur, just something about when that guy would skate on the ice, there was just something magical about him.
Yeah, so I got to see him playing for the Rangers, and every time he touched the puck, you'd hear, Guy.
Yeah, I just remember when he was going down the ice on that, you just kind of thought something incredible. And maybe not a goal, but something was about to happen. So, but yeah, those are some of the lists from the players poll. We will get to what we talked about at the top of the show here at the end with the NHL and their bracket for the most memorable moments. But coming up next when we get back, Gary Lawless, the Vegas Golden Knights Insider, to join us here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Chris Chapman, all here with you on a Friday. Hope everybody's being safe out there and doing as well as can be expected. You know, one of the things that helps pass the time for me these days is picking up a good book and reading. And our guest right now, certainly with the VGK book reading club that they have going on, reading Ken Dryden's book. You know him as the Vegas Golden Knight Insider. You can check him out on VegasGoldenKnights.com and all over social media. Gary Lawless joining us now. Gary, how you doing? And how's the book going?
The book is great. I've read it probably a handful of times already, so it's fun to be going through it again and reading some of the chapters that really kind of hit home for me. So lots of fun, and lots of fun to take part in the conversation as well.
You know, Gary, you wrote a big piece about how the Golden Knights were built from expansion draft to as this roster is currently. What's one of the big takeaways that you pulled from your experience writing that piece that maybe you didn't think about ahead of time, but now that you're sitting back looking at it saying, yeah, that was a huge move at the moment, or something that just kind of sticks out to you?
Well, I think for me, and you know, some of this stuff you know, when you work for the team, you do have a little bit of access to some knowledge that maybe some people on the outside don't always have. And that's not to demean any of the excellent work that's done by the media in Vegas. But just sometimes, you know, for instance, when last year when the Golden Knights were, when they were trading Colin Miller, Eric Halla, and the rights to Nikita Gusev, you know, there was a lot of complaints about the roster, the depth of the roster, and the salary cap management. Well, you know, the opportunity to get Mark Stone wasn't supposed to come to the Vegas Golden Knights. And when you get an opportunity to get one of the best players in the game, who's still in his 20s, and you can get him for long term, you know, you have to jump on that. And that, you know, that was that change, you know, obviously put them in salary cap position that was difficult. But to watch how they managed it, they moved those guys out and they got in a bunch of draft picks that they were then able to weaponize at the trade deadline and add, you know, Martinez, Cousins, and Leonard. And those are massive adds, in particular, Martinez and Leonard. And it was, you know, they knew that they were going to have to kind of go through a process where they were going to have to, you know, operate lean. And if there were injuries, it would be difficult. And yet they still managed to be, you know, right around the top of the Pacific Division. And then at the trade deadline, were able to really bolster this roster and make it a Stanley Cup contender and, you know, use those picks to do it. So, you know, I think that they were aggressive when they had the chance to get Stone, and then they were real smart in how they adapted to that situation and handled it and still put themselves in a position to have a Stanley Cup contending roster when the playoffs started.
You know, Gary, when you're talking about those kind of moves and the things that the Vegas Golden Knights did, and a lot of people were surprised that they could pick up somebody like Leonard when they did, and even adding pieces, you know, with you know, with Martinez coming in and Stevenson, who came in and just has absolutely lit up the strip and brought in a lot of attention to the Vegas Golden Knights. But one of the things that made that possible was all the moves they did with sending guys up and down from Chicago back and forth to Vegas. Certainly Nick Waugh, one of those guys that immediately comes to the forefront of the mind. How advantageous is it going to be to Vegas next season with their AHL club being here in Henderson, where they can save a ton of travel, probably a little bit of money in as far as flights and that go, although I don't think that's really their main focus in it. But how much better is that going to be when they can make all those kind of moves to save a little bit of money, and instead of going cross-country, they're just going to literally go across town?
Well, it'll certainly be a lot easier to send it when the team plays on a Sunday and doesn't play again on a Tuesday, and they have a guy that is waiver exempt. Yeah, they'll be able to send him to the farm team, the American Hockey League team, and not blink, right? Like that. Yeah, you're gonna go to the AHL, and then if they decide to recall him to the NHL for their game on Tuesday night, it's not a real. There's no issues. You don't have to worry about flights. You don't have to worry about the guy getting stuck in Chicago as a result of a snowstorm or any of those things. So that's one reason why it's advantageous. You know, the fact that George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon will be able to watch their farm team play by just getting in the car and jumping on the I-15 rather than having to get, the Southwest to Chicago or Peoria or Des Moines or wherever it is. They're going to have access to their players, just by driving across town. That's a huge advantage.
You know, Gary, when you look at some of the younger players for the Golden Knights that have had somewhat of an impact this season, you look at Zach Whitecloud, you look at Nick Hague, you look at Nick Waugh, and you look at Cody Glass, which of those guys really stood out to you, and which one do you feel like is going to be that pivotal piece maybe 2-3 years down the line?
I think Whitecloud and Waugh have established themselves as full-time NHLers, and Glass did until the injury bug hit him. And I think that both Glass and Hague will be, are going to be real good players in the National Hockey League. Your question is about upside, I guess. And I happen to think that Cody Glass is a lot like Mark Scheifele, and that mentally he's ready for the NHL, and physically he has to catch up a little bit. Cody Glass to me is a number one center in the NHL. I don't know if any of those other players are, have the same ceiling. I think obviously Hague is going to be a top four defenseman, and Whitecloud has the ability to be a top four guy as well. I don't know how far Waugh can climb. I think, certainly he could be a real good third-line center in the NHL, but we also saw when there were some injuries and he had to move up and play in the top six, he was able to do it. So I just think it shows what a great job Bobby Lowe's and Vaughn Carpen have done in finding people for McCrimmon and McPhee that are going to be able to bolster this roster. But you put me in a spot, I guess it's Cody Glass is the one who I think, when he reaches his potential, will be, the mental, has a hockey sense and offensive instinct and competitiveness and work ethic. I don't think there's any ceiling for Cody Glass.
Vegas Golden Knight Insider, Gary Lawless joining us here. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Gary, one of the things that we've had a chance to really do in this little bit of downtime here is really look at a lot of different things around the hockey world. And one thing that keeps on being brought up is most valuable players to their team, to the league, and everything else. And we recently threw a poll out there about the most valuable player for the Vegas Golden Knights this season. Certainly Shea Theodore has made a bunch of strides, and I know JT the Brick, who you're on with frequently and who follows us here on Fox Sports, he's been tooting the horn for Shea for a while. Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty having incredible seasons, a lot of guys doing a lot of different things. If you were right now to say who the Hart Trophy winner for the VGK is at this point of the year, who would it be?
Riley Smith, for me. he's been so consistent all year long, and he's such a good two-way player. You know, Stone has some different elements to his game in terms of offense, but Riley has scored. Riley has been has killed penalties, been on the power play, and just he's been more consistent than anybody else this season. And you know, now there's another 10 games to go, and Mark Stone was hurt for a little bit of a stretch. So just, you know, Riley's been in the lineup all year long, and he's been consistent, and I'm a big fan of his game.
You know, it's interesting, too, because when you mention Riley Smith, I certainly can't argue with that. And he's one of those guys, too. He just goes out there and does his job and whatever you need him to do. Maybe one of the most underrated players, although we talk about him all the time, and certainly rightfully so. Gary, I know people want to always watch you on VegasGoldenKnights.com and, of course, what you're doing on social media and that. Where can people find you and follow you to get all your great interviews and articles?
Yeah, well, we're doing a bunch of things. You know, you can listen to the SLGND podcast. I had a long chat with NHL referee Wes McCauley earlier this week, and I think that's going to get posted tomorrow anywhere that you can where you access your podcast. We did a Zoom show today, which is going to get posted very soon on VGK.com. Just, you know, any go to the Golden Knights channels and you know, you'll usually be able to find what I'm doing, or you can check my Twitter at Gary Lawless. I'll usually post what I'm doing there as well.
All right, Gary. Well, always a pleasure talking to you. Hope to see you at the rink here again soon, and keep on following you on all the social media sites out there, and keep on reading that book. I know you've read it several times out there, so if you are into it and you're part of that book club, even if you're not, probably not too late to join in and get in and catch up on a little bit of reading and get the insights from a man who knows the book like the back of his hand. Thanks a lot for the time, Gary.
Sure. Before you let me go real fast, who are your Hart Trophies winners for the Golden Knights? You made me answer. I'd like to hear who you guys would pick.
I selected Shea Theodore. I think that when you look at what Shea's been able to do defensively, all the numbers, the point shares, he's just taken his game to another level. And when you look at where the strength for the Golden Knights is as a team, for me, I would argue that it's going to be offense. It's going to be their top six forwards are second to none in the NHL. And so when you get that type of player on the back end that raises his game as much as Shea Theodore does, for me, it was Shea Theodore. And I think that had you not had the pause over the last 11 games, he would have just elevated to another level.
And I certainly can't argue with either one of those picks there, though the one that I did pick was Max Pacioretty. I thought there was a reason that he represented the Vegas Golden Knights in the All-Star game. I think Max does so many things. I know Mark Stone is a tremendous 200-foot player with the takeaways and everything else he does as well, but I really think Pacioretty's a leader. When you need a big goal or a big shift out there, he does it. He's not afraid to speak with the media. He tells it like it is out there. He is a leader. I know there's no captain on this team, but if there was one, I would think that he would be one of the leading candidates for that position if he was interested in it. I don't think you can go wrong with Theodore, Smith, or Stone for that matter, but I really think Max Pacioretty is having an incredible season, maybe the best of his career, and if the season continues and they're going to make a run at the Stanley Cup, all of those guys are going to be a big part, but I think Patches is, he would be my choice, but it'd be razor thin between a lot of different picks.
You know, I get stuck in the, I was a member of the Professional Hockey Writers Association for a long time, and had a vote for those awards, and we all, you know, the Hart Trophy, I always picked a forward, and the Norris was always obviously a defenseman. So I kind of always viewed them as almost, you know, the same kind of trophy. The Hart was for a forward because normally it goes to a forward, and the Norris was for a defenseman. But Shea and Max are excellent choices for sure.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Gary. We look forward to talking to you soon in the future.
Take care, guys.
All right, Gary Lawless there. Check him out at VegasGoldenKnights.com and, of course, on all the social media as well. When we come back, we're going to look at the NHL best moments up to the season, up to this point here. Wrapping it up on a Friday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Back to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back. Wrapping it up on a Friday, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, your home for Golden Knights hockey. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy, Chris Chapman all here with you. And guys, it's time to get to our NHL.com poll.
In yesterday's matchup, Pekka Rinne's goalie goal advanced to the next round. This is today's matchup. A young Wild fan has his patience rewarded with a puck from Matt Zuccarello versus Cale Makar setting the Avalanche rookie defenseman scoring mark.
The Avs playing it up ice with Cale Makar. Burakovsky finds the trailer. Nichushkin with a shot. He scores!
You decide who moves on.
Okay, so this one's difficult because it's another secondary assist versus a kid crying because he didn't get a puck and then getting a puck. So it's rewarding bad behavior.
Yeah, it's interesting because the headline of it says rewarding his patience or whatever, but I kind of agree with you.
Like, dude's pressed up against the glass, like screaming, and then gets a puck, and he's like, oh, God, I'm good now. So, I mean, secondary assists should not be celebrated. Nothing?
I know you're waiting for a reaction from me. I'm not going down that rabbit hole again. We've done it enough. Thank you very much.
Well, they were saying it was Makar's season up to this point. Breaking.
Yes. Well, he broke their rookie record, yes.
Yeah. But it would be disingenuous of me after going in on Patrick Kane for breaking or for setting a record of 1,000 points, which isn't even setting a record, it's just getting to a number. With a secondary assist and then turning around and voting for Cale Makar the same thing.
But would it be disingenuous? It wouldn't necessarily be that you were voting for that, secondary assist. Maybe it's because the competition is so lame up against it. Because isn't it going to be disingenuous if you vote for somebody for bad behavior?
You're absolutely right. Because even, you know, because when a secondary assist goes against a hat trick, clearly the hat trick deserves to win. But when a secondary assist goes against a non-hockey play and really petulance, I think that that's probably the right play. So you know what, Frank? Thanks for talking me into it. I was actually going to stick my flag in the sand or something like that and be, you know, honest about it. But you know what? You're right. This Cale Makar play is better than Patrick Kane's.
Well, okay, that wasn't the vote, but
thank you for letting me see that. Thank you. I appreciate that. This secondary assist is way better than Patrick Kane's secondary assist. You're absolutely right, Frank.
Okay, well, that wasn't the vote, but so what are you going for in today's vote against the crying Wild fan?
Cale Makar. He just said it.
Okay. Well, I also went with Makar because, quite frankly, nothing against the kid from the Minnesota Wild, the fan for the Wild. I see better reactions with the players on the ice at T-Mobile Arena on an almost nightly basis. It's not a big deal. The kid was crying. They threw him a puck. Makar.
I like Matt Zuccarello. He's a good player, good guy. That being said, crying kid doesn't get a puck. I'm sorry. It's Makar.
All right. Well, we all took a different route to get there, but we're all in agreement. What
Makar
a shocker.
Is better than Patrick Kane. You're right, Frank.
Maybe they'll run up against each other sometime. Find out. Something tells me that those two won't advance too much farther on in this poll. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Monday. JT the Bricks next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Have a great weekend.